Mister, you may have traveled near or far, but you haven't seen the country till you've seen the country by car. Mister, may I recommend a royal route? It starts in Illinois. Let me tell you, boy, if you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is a mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingsman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Springfield, Illinois, Springfield, Missouri too. Seven states, count 'em, seven spread out in front of you. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque and Tucumcari make New Mexico extraordinary. You'll want to own a piece of Arizona, a Needles, Essex, Amboy, Azusa. No one in sunny Cal is a loser, so get hip to this timely tip. When you make that California trip, if any Joe tells you to go some other way, say nix, get your kicks on Route 66.
The Broken Road Radio family has one fewer members today. Doug Greenwald died Sunday morning, around sunrise. He will be missed. This is Broken Road Radio News for the top of the hour. I'm David Allen Punt. Doug had been on Broken Road Radio since there was a Broken Road Radio. He had Wednesday mornings, and he had played basketball in college and had advanced degrees in business and knew about marketing and promotion and advertising and worked for the number of large companies around the country. Even played in a Final Four basketball tournament one year, a year or two back. But all of that stuff, the stuff you would think guys would like to talk about, he didn't want to talk about. Doug's topic was biblical context, looking at the Bible, specific passages, and looking between the lines and behind the lines to better understand what was going on in the passage. One of the first Doug conversations I remember was the discussion about the Nativity and some of the things that, if more widely known, wouldn't make sense to anybody. Why did they go to Bethlehem? Doug would ask. because that's where Joseph grew up, Doug would say. He had lots of family there, perhaps owned property there, and that's the way the Romans collected taxes, had people go to their hometowns. And why couldn't they get a room? What, Motel 6 was full up, Doug would say? Here's another possibility. The town is full of Joseph's old friends and relatives, and their first thought was probably something like, obviously Joseph's wife is pregnant, and there's nothing wrong with that. They've probably been married for a while, but why wasn't I, his favorite uncle, cousin, brother-in-law, second sister's half-cousin's brother's niece, why wasn't I invited to the wedding, the three-day party, or the betrothal party? We don't know from Scripture, but that's the way people of the area do things today, and there's little reason they wouldn't have done them that way then. And now Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the guy who let them stay with the animals becomes three-dimensional, more real, not just words on a page anymore. Doug taught me that this book I've tried to read, tried to understand, tried to love for most of my life is about real people, real life, real happenings. It's not about how I can figure out how to live my life. It's about God, who He is, what He wants, and what He expects. And now Doug can get these answers firsthand. For 7 years, we had weekly conversations every Wednesday morning, always interesting, always paradigm-changing, always filled with aha moments. And now we have no more new Doug wisdom, just the old. He encouraged us to use his techniques to discover a richer, more life-filled Bible than we had ever known before. That was Doug's gift to us, and we will miss him. I'm David Allen Punt.
David, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
That was one of David's recorded news bits from yesterday, and it just stopped me cold when I heard that. It's Wednesday morning, and I'm not introducing Doug, and there's something wrong with that. It shouldn't be that way. For over 7 years, he joined us. And now, for the past year, he's been recuperating from cancer surgery and chemo and radiation and going through an intensely difficult time personally. And in his family, his son was diagnosed with cancer, lost an arm to that over the past year. I mean, that family has been through so much. And in tracking them on Caring Bridge, they've done an amazing job. And that's a testimony to Doug as a father. The work that he and his wife Nancy have done with those kids over the years and holding things together, and especially during this past year. Tipping one's hat seems such a minor thing, but what a guy he was. Brilliant teacher, a superb father, and he had a great jump shot. He made reference to his basket. That was at the University of Michigan. They were in the Final Four, 1964, I think.
He had a good jump shot.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Okay.
And a knack for teaching, explaining, opening up, all that space between the lines in your Bible has stuff in it. You just can't see it until you get familiar with context, cultural, historical, linguistic, geographical, all kinds of components to that context that he was so adept at bringing forth and opening things up for us. So we'll miss him. His funeral is today. He died on Sunday. And there will be a memorial for him on July the 12th at his church, I presume, in Columbia, Maryland. That's where home is for Doug and his wife, Nancy, and two daughters live there. And his son, David, is coming home, of course. He'll be there in the meantime. So just it's very difficult not to be hearing his voice and learning stuff on Wednesday morning. So, again, David, thank you for doing that. I've seen him in presentations in churches, his Bible Alive seminars, and of course at the IBC conference and so forth. But when he was personal with us in conversation, I think the teaching was even better.
Mm-hmm.
He had such a command of the material and was such a thorough researcher. I remember asking him one time, okay, Doug, what's the best Bible to use? You've opened this up to us. Which one? He said, well, you can't do it with one. Mm-hmm. And he uses two or three or four, depending on what aspect of context he's looking for. Mm-hmm. And what you hear from this learned man then is a synthesis of the thinking of scholars from across the centuries and multiple Bible translations. He's hard to replace.
It's going to be almost impossible. We've gone to these biblical contexts. Sessions, the IBC conferences, for 3 years now, and We've listened to other speakers talk about their digging into scripture behind the lines and inside the lines, and learning more about the people at the time who lived for the, and you know, in that particular time period when for them the Bible was brand new, where they were the first ones to hear it, and all of a sudden it takes on a human shape. I mean, it's still not entirely there for me, but it's much more real now than it ever has been.
You said it in your news recording there. He lets us know that these were real people living real mm-hmm. lives in a real place with real feelings and real ambitions and real disappointments and real hurts and real yearnings. Mm-hmm. Many of those yearnings we share with them even now. It's that God-shaped hole. You know, they shared that as well.
Yeah, the yearnings haven't changed. I mean, they're the same, and the humanness of us is very much the same as well. I'm preparing for a Bible study tonight, and we're working on the last chapter of Ruth, and there's only four chapters, so it's not a big book, but just digging into the characters of Elimelech and Naomi when they left Judah. And walked. There were no buses. And they couldn't take a plane that hadn't been invented yet. And they walked a long way.
Well, that's one thing.
Do you have any idea how long it is from Bethlehem to Moab? Got to be 60 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge amount of
space.
It
was a walking culture. That's something that Doug taught us. And that changes the way you live and the way you think and the way you react to visitors, for example. Mm-hmm. A midnight visitor, it was common because it was hot. And people would travel at night to avoid the sun. And so little things like that open up, and you say, oh, that's why that says that. That never made sense to me before. Now mm-hmm. I can see it. Yeah. Yeah. They were real people.
Back in the thing about Ruth, the Elimelech left because of a famine in Judah. But apparently Moab didn't have a famine. Now, there are references to all kinds of famines in the area, seven-year famines that went on and on and on. But it seemed like it was spotty. There was famine in this area, but not in this area. And so he was going to go there because there was food there. Mm-hmm. Now, the other possibility I just stumbled across was that the Moab's Moabites had a different god, Chemosh. And there was a cult in not just the Moabites, but there was a cult branch among the Israelites. Now, and they followed Chemosh. Was Elimelech one of them? We don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find out. But that's an interesting aspect, that there are people making decisions on the basis of real conditions in their life
that outside the Bible and bring it in and marry the things, and then you understand the fuller dimension. That's what Doug taught us to do. He taught us about that famine is why Joseph wound up in Egypt and Jacob and the rest of the clan eventually. Famines had a lot to do with the movement of peoples, and still do, actually, but more so then. So context, just an important part of our lives it's become. It's really opened things up for me personally as well. So I just want to thank Doug and wherever you are now. Well, I know where you are now.
Yeah. Keep asking those questions.
Yeah. Ask those questions. And in case anybody wondered why we played Perry Como and Route 66, that was always Doug's favorite song in the whole library. He would mention that time and again off the air before going on with us. Oh, thanks for playing that. That's one of my favorites from way back when. Well, Doug, you'll always be one of our favorites. Stevie Wonder on a Broken Road Radio Wednesday morning.